Mission with all protocols observed. Pope Crew has on numerous occasions raised a grave concern on the fact that the South African Police Service human and physical resources allocation has been and continues to be a deep-seated challenge with severe adverse effects to both the police officers and the community at large. We are therefore pleased that the committee has afforded us an opportunity to once more fully elaborate on this crucial matter as the challenge related to the fixed establishment at the level of police stations has manifested itself into a dilemma. It's an undisputable fact that the issue of unequal allocation of human resources continues to impinge on various constitutional rights of the members, men and women, dedicated men and women in blue, more especially their right to safety and life, as attested to various appalling incidents of police killings nationwide, including the recent brutal attacks in Nobo police station. Our members are continuously terrorized and killed by cold-blooded criminals due to the long-standing impasse of inadequate human and physical resources as they work under unsafe and understaffed conditions. I emphasize, unsafe and understaffed conditions. Others in dilapidated buildings, a majority of the police stations, more especially in the townships and rural areas, do not have basic equipment such as well-functioning or functional CCTV cameras, bulletproof windows, and battle-up doors, while members do not have adequate protector gear. It's on this premise that we have witnessed such cases, such as Engobo, where criminals stormed in a poorly resourced police station and brutally killed police officers and stole their firearms, or robbed them of their firearms. Pope Crew condemns similar cases of this nature and further reiterate that they must be prevented at all costs. This kind of vicious cycle can't be tolerated 24 years following the advent of democracy in the country because the discussions on resource allocation are totally not new in this house. Nevertheless, progress on improving resource allocation for effective policing has been sluggish regardless of several inputs presented in the city. It's further disheartening to witness the majority of the beneficiaries of police services, mostly within the previously disadvantaged communities, continuously reporting serious concerns about the lack of police resources and consequently lack of police visibility in their police prisons, whilst police visibility instills a sense of safety to ordinary members of the community. It's even more disturbing when one takes a glimpse at the current composition of the SAP's top management, which is composed of 25.2% of the total SAP's workforce, with the other percentage, which is 14.4%, deployed to the cluster and provincial level, a very unnecessary level called cluster, leaving a limited resource, human resource, of 60.32 on the ground. This top heavy structure creates duplication of functions, weak command and control, and subsequently poor service delivery at the police station level. It's therefore evident that the current fixed establishment of police at the police station It's therefore evident that the current fixed establishment needs to be reviewed with the key objective of improving working conditions of the members, enhance productivity and morale, and increase effectiveness and efficiency in the position of policing service. The review process should take cognizance of the fact that the size of the population vis-à-vis the capacity and strength of the police to effectively deliver on its mandate. Very skewed ratios, 56 million population, police establishment of just under 200,000. Now, we believe that through these fundamentals, the improvement and functioning of different components can easily complement each other in the best interest of servicing the entire nation. The South African Police Service has a responsibility of ensuring that the membership or the members are working under safe conditions. Hence, we are of the firm view that this top-heavy structure must be restructured and broken down, because currently it is composed of replications which has dire financial implications as it consumes funds which should be utilized to improve conditions of service and provision of tools of trades, whilst on the other hand it also entails a lot of red tapes which delay immediate responses and interventions and hamper service delivery. The fruitless expenditure emanating from this bloated structure can be used to utilize or to build and renovate police stations and capacitate them to with the required demand and other resources, thereby improving working conditions of the members. The current senior positions created at the pinnacle of the structure of the level of the DDG, chief directors, and a lot of other directors need to be reviewed as a matter of urgency. Over and above such positions, there are many divisional commissioners reporting directly to five other DDGs. On the 19th of June in 2012, a meeting of this nature was convened to specifically deliberate on the top heavy structure. And we made it loud and clear then that SAPS would and should do better with a leaner top structure, with bigger personnel deployed where the actual policing takes place for improved delivery of services to the South African police population. We are therefore repeating this statement 5 years later, because SAPS seemingly is failing to acknowledge that this bloated structure has adverse effects on the department's prospects of adequately employing and distributing sufficient personnel at police stations. We are once more proposing that the structure of the police service should be recognized, should be redesigned to ensure synergy, accountability, cost effectiveness, and efficient functioning of this department. A revised structure should incorporate decentralization of both work and authority, with specialized skills deployed at the level of the station, thus building capacity at the level where it is required, which is at the station level. The disastrous consequences of this skewed structure is the department's inability to positively respond to its mandate of combating, prevention and investigating crime. Hence, there's a dire need to completely downsize the structure, and this can only be achieved if the department can emerge with some components that render similar services. Components such as personnel management, human resource utilization, and human resource development should be merged to one. They are almost all corporate service functions and headed by one divisional commissioner. Supply chain management can also be incorporated as a subcomponent of financial and administration services and be headed by one divisional commission. This will certainly save the department a huge amount of funds that can be utilized for a better purpose with a positive impact on the fight against crime. And the current administrative nightmare, excessive bureaucracy, with unnecessary delay in decision-making processes, will also cease to exist. It's only through proper restructuring processes that we can find long-lasting or long-term solutions in keeping the internal challenges that have for years hindered on service delivery. And by addressing this, we will be better positioned to ensure that heinous crimes such as police killings are kept and establishment of good working relations with the communities are enhanced. The membership on the ground can continue to living a life of being grateful when they survive a day, whereas the head office is bloated with high-ranking officers who are literally idling around in over-resourced air-conditioned offices. The police officers at police stations need to be assured that their safety is a priority and that the service they provide is of paramount importance through the provision of required personnel as well as adequate working tools in order for them to perform their duties to the best of their ability. Based on the presented facts, we therefore recommend the following. A flatter organizational structure is required for service, for better service delivery, rather than the current several layers of command and control. Two, restructuring the service is necessary as a way forward to better policing and improved services, using the local police stations as the crucible of such service. The revised structure should incorporate the advantages of decentralization of work and authority, along with specialized skills that will be available at station level, not what has happened in the past years, which was a waste of taxpayers' money under the pretext of restructuring. The focus of restructuring should be directed towards reducing the provincial and national structures and completely dissolve the unwanted or the wasted resources at the cluster level in order to improve coordination and the provision of functional policing at the support services. Redeployment of specialized operational units, policing functions to the station level should be prioritized to ensure effective investigation of crime. This will increase the leadership, management, decision-making, and skills levels at stations to deal with the station's unique crime challenges. Station commissioners should be well-equipped or well-capacitated to efficiently provide a comprehensive service and manage all resources with improved systems of monitoring and evaluation in place. In fact, we are here saying the stations will be better led and managed by station commissioners at the level of lieutenant generals or and major generals at that level. Increased personnel establishment where the actual policing takes place will enhance the implementation of sector policing, thereby enabling a more direct and personal link between police officers, officials, and the public at grassroots level, subsequently improving the relations between the police and the community they serve. This notion should be a key feature of SAP's medium-term planning, with emphasis on recruiting quality over quantity, thus realizing the effective, disciplined, and professionalized service as stipulated by the 2016 White Paper on Policing and the National Development Plan. It's common knowledge that the communities we live in, the communities in economically disadvantaged areas are the ones which rely extensively on the police for protection services as they can't afford alternative policing preferences such as the private security services. This component of the policing with fully armed, unvetted security companies, bigger than the South African Police Service and the Army combined. We've got an explosive component in this area, with a lot of illegal firearms. Maybe it can be better this committee considers the fast-tracking of the Firearm Controls Act for finalization. It's therefore of paramount importance that state policing services must benefit communities equally regardless of social and economic backgrounds, as the improvement of safety and security in the country hinges on the collaboration of sufficient policing resources to each police station. Special emphasis in this regard should also be placed on equitable distribution of experienced personnel with specialized skills where they are rightfully needed. Lastly, we submit that the South African Police Service should address all these deficiencies for effective rationalization of a professional and efficient policing in South Africa. And we make another commitment to the Commissioner that we made, that we are ready for engagement on taking this process forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much to the lady. Thank you, Salto. President, thank you. Okay, Honorable Chair, members of the committee, leadership from the police, our brothers and sisters from Pokru, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate the time given to us to come and do this presentation. Our presentation, you will see, General Ravi, are you assisting us there, please? Okay, we can go to the next slide. Okay, you will see how we have outlined this presentation, the next slide. May I, on behalf of the organization SAPU, express our sincere gratitude to this committee for extending the invitation to us to make our submissions regarding the process of establishment of fixed at station level and in SAPS. As a point of departure, we support the tried and tested process highlighted in determining the human resource in the South African Police Service. As indicated previously, we shall always support management in order to ensure success. In doing so, we shall constructively point out the issues that negatively affect the SAPS as a whole. The structure that is presented in slide 8 of the SAPS document was approved on the 31st of December 2015. There is no other approved replacement structure that has been consulted with the unions as required by agreement. Let me show the unsigned version of the same structure, which I am about to highlight certain aspects. If you look at this structure, Honorable Chair, you will see that the Regulation 8 of the regulations has been amended by the substitution of the following. On subsection 1, the ranks in the service in order of precedence are as follows. General appointed as National Commissioner, Lieutenant General appointed as DNC, DIFCOMS, Regional Commissioners, and Provincial Commissioners. Major General, Brigadier, Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, Captain, Warrant Officers, Sergeants, and Constables. Subsection 2 of the same regulation says the National Commissioner may, in individual cases, determine a rank which is not included in the sub-regulation 1 and provide that a particular member shall hold such rank, provided that the National Commissioner shall simultaneously determine that the rank shall, for all purposes, be equivalent to a rank included in sub-regulation 1. Section 24 of the SAPS Act 68 of 1995 empowers the minister to make regulations. Regulation 8.1 of the SAPS 1964 determines the ranks in the SAPS. The structures in the SAPS must follow the regulations. The current structure was approved on 31st December 2015, and the regulations on which the new ranks were established were promulgated on 24/5/2016 and came into effect 1 June 2016. Surprisingly, the regulations followed the ranks, which is totally wrong. In this structure, the post of National Head, Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, is not allocated any rank, but only Sergeant Level 15. Section 17C2A of the Police Act, as amended by the South African Police Service Amendment Act 57 of 2008, read, I only took a portion of what is important or relevant to this, but we have also provided information on the extreme right there, and at your own time, members may go through image. But I want to quote this to say the directorate comprises of the head of the directorate, who shall be a deputy national commissioner appointed by the minister in concurrence with cabinet. The result was that the appointment of Anwar Dramat as Deputy National Commissioner, a clearly regulated rank, was within the law. In this approved structure, the position of national head, management and advisory services is pitched at what is termed lieutenant general. But when the regulations were passed 6 months later, they did not make provisions for the rank of lieutenant general. When this post is filled, the incumbent is appointed as lieutenant general, appointed as deputy national commissioner. This DNC becomes the only DNC without divisional commissioner. It happens to a major general who has now jumped the rank of the lieutenant general, appointed as DIFCOM, and without competitive selection process as directed by the National Development Plan. The Police Act was further amended in terms of the South African Police Service Amendment Act 10 of 2012. In terms of this amendment, Section 17CA 1 reads, again, I have only picked on this for the purpose of this presentation, and I quote, the minister with the concurrence of cabinet shall appoint a person who is a South African citizen and a fit and proper person with the due regard to his or her experience, consciousness and integrity to be entrusted with the responsibilities of the office concerned as the national head of the directorate for a non-renewable fixed term of not shorter than 7 years and not longer than 10 years, close quote. Based on this law, attempts to appoint Major General Semeza was chaotic, to say the least. The minister announced his appointment as Major General, but in few days' time, he was addressed as a Lieutenant General, which was only settled by the court. Now, the post has been advertised with an indication that it is on salary level 15. Once again, no rank is mentioned in the advert. The Police Act and Regulation 81 are definitely silent about the rank to be held by the incumbent. Seniority of the post is not mentioned. Unless police management advise the minister to amend the regulation, the confusion will continue to reign. The same argument goes to the deputy national head, whose rank is not determined as reflected in Section 17CA4 of the Police Act. The current incumbent is called lieutenant general, which is not existing rank. There is an excessive number of police officials at national head office, slide 34 of the police presentation today. Some posts are unnecessary and could be phased out, which will release the much-needed resources at production level. We are of the view that the post of Deputy National Commissioner, Management Intervention, slide 18, is unnecessary. There are 5 posts on salary level 15 and many other senior managers who can better placed elsewhere. It is clear from the several misnomers that top management is not familiar with the names of its structures. The name of DPCI at the end reads investigations instead of investigation, slide 18, 19, and 27. Similarly, top management calls its detective service as detective services, a practice that exacerbates the confusion on slide 15. I think if you look at program 3, it will read detective services because of forensic, DPCI and other units that are falling under it. It is important that the number of satellite police stations and contact points be reflected, that is on slide 3, as they compete for the 120,000 posts at station level. The columns reflecting the number of posts reflected, such as DNC 4, 4, 5, and 5, does not tally and therefore not making sense as to whether they refer to the number of office bearers or the number of posts under that office bearer, slide 27 to 28. In any event, the reflection of 5 DNC's posts is misleading, as there are 6 posts of DNC's. Honorable Chair, we may say many a times to say that the top structure of the police is bloated, but we continue to bloat this structure on a daily basis. We have moved from the approved structure approved on the 31st of 12, 2050, from 5 DNCs, now we are standing at 6 DNCs. It is unclear as to why management is presenting the 2016-2017 structures that has been abandoned and not presenting structures as on 3-1 January 2018. This suggests that management acknowledges that there is no approved structure in which the 6 DNCs reflected. With regard to manpower, the DPCI is undercapacitated. It is undisputed that they have to investigate complex cases that generate extreme public interest. They ought not be failed by undercapacitation. Similarly, the detective service is understaffed and attention should be paid to it. It is observed that the post of component head, counterintelligence, has been elevated to divisional commissioner's level and removed from crime intelligence division and placed directly under the National Commission. The laws governing intelligence structures will be upset by this move. This move tramples the Intelligence Services Oversight Act 40 of 1994. The Inspector General of Intelligence will also be hampered in its oversight. The move further undermines the National Strategic Intelligence Act 39 of 1994, which recognizes Crime Intelligence Division of the SAPS as the only recognized entity defined by the services, and further recognizes the Divisional Commission of Crime Intelligence as a member of the National Intelligence Coordinating Committee, NICOC. It does not make sense to have the provincial head responsible for communications, liaison, and marketing as one person on the level of brigadier, but have separate posts for communication and liaison and marketing at head office held by major generals. These structures were created during General Pierre's era, where a component head was elevated to a post level of lieutenant general. You will recall General Makhalebe was a communication officer holding a rank which did not exist, which is non-existing rank, and the brigadier's post below elevated to major general. With the normalization of the component head on major general level, the other major general posts that were created ought to revert to brigadiers. Slide 26 misrepresents itself, because it speaks of funded posts, whereas it includes unfunded posts. It will appear that there are 4 unfunded posts on the level of DNC, which is unclear as there are 5 DNC. It is worrisome to observe that there are 2 civilians on the salary of Director General, National Commissioner, slide 25. Our concerns regarding the top AV structure has been negated. The composition on salary level 6, which is sergeants to warrant officers, demonstrates an abnormal organizational composition where there are more personnel on salary level 7 than level 6, that is in slide 25. This is an indication that management has dragged its heels on elevating members from level 5, which is constables, to fill the gaps in level 6, which is sergeants. The salaries that are unnecessarily spent at levels 14 and 15 could go a long way in normalizing this anomaly. We ask top management to urgently advise the minister to amend regulations 8.1 to incorporate the ranks of the national head, DPCI, and its deputy as follows. General appointed as national commissioner. Lieutenant general appointed as national head of the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, Deputy National Commissioner, Deputy National Head of the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, Divisional Commissioner, Regional Commissioner, that is if it survives, or Provincial Commissioner, Major General, Brigadier, Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, Captain, Warrant Officer, Sergeant, and Constable. We further argue the National Commissioner to refrain from unscientifically elevating the post of Component 8 to the level of Deputy National Commissioner. We specifically point that the post of the National Head Management Advisory Services that was created on 31st December 2015 with a non-existing rank of Lieutenant General and unilaterally and irregularly elevated to Deputy National Commissioner, slide 27. should be de-elevated to divisional commissioner. This act has created a post of DNC, which, unlike all others, do not have the divisional commissioner under it. That abnormality points that the post should have at least been elevated from the component head to divisional commissioner, and the national commissioner is called upon to correct that error. Management should urgently fill the gaps in salary level 6/25, as this is a production level. Top management should advise the minister to amend Section 6 of the Police Act and align it with the National Development Plan, as well as Section 17CA 12A, which directs that the deputy national head of DPCI shall be appointed to act in the absence of the head. Never and never again should we be subjected to an experiment where a divisional commissioner is appointed as acting national commissioner in the presence of the deputy national commissioner. It is even worse to have a major general acting as national commissioner, as this anomaly tramples the regulations, standing orders, and national instructions that deals with command, control, and discipline. We recommend that the post...
I think, Mr. Committee, agree with that point of view, that we shouldn't have people who are not seen enough to be appointed as acting national commissioners. That's wrong, totally wrong.
Okay.
We agree with that.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We recommend that the post of divisional commissioner that resides under the national commissioner should be scrapped and that the post continue as component head under Crime Intelligence Division. The post of the DNC management intervention and all the four posts resulting under it should be phased out. We do not have regions, and the provincial commissioner are statutorily accountable to the national commissioner and not regional commissioner. The post of divisional commissioner research was created by General Pierre as Heard Research Institute with the sole purpose of demoting one of her deputies at that time. Research belongs in the component head organizational development. The post of human resource utilization division should be a component within the personnel management. The processes utilized by the subs to determine human resource are supported /5 and 6-12. The increase in personnel at station level from 62.78% to 65% is supported /23. To get it right at station level, you need to get it right at the top. To achieve the above objectives, the recommendations submitted should be considered. We are, as always, of our contributions to the police leadership for success. I thank you, Honorable Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Sarko, President. Honorable members, we had a lot of input, and unfortunately, due to long input in the first session, we need to really go two questions each because we've got only half an hour. So I will lead with that process, and then we'll go to the honorable members. Maybe just to... highlight the following in terms of the SAP's presentation. Two issues that is not really coming through quite well is the issue, judging from the budget limitations we're going to have in the next few years in terms of the cutting the baseline. The issue of technology in terms of multiplier, and then the National Commissioner, I think, gave a very good response with regard to the cash in transit hikes, what they're going to do. And that's actually talking NDP language, saying it is interrelated, it's cooperation with outside companies, it's bringing in civil society. And that's also one thing I don't find in your staffing requirements for the next few years. Involving the civil society by ways of the reservists, involving private security companies, involving civil society as a multiplier. Because you're not going to get more money to appoint more people. That's not realistic in terms of the fiscal framework. So what's your planning there, and also in terms of the technology? Because if you're not going to use technology wisely, you're not going to address your challenges. Let's go to Honorable Molabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of CCTVs, body cams, and let me also add metal detectors that are mounted at police station level was discussed in the past. But how far are you, especially with the incident that happened in Ngcobo, how far are you in that regard? My next one is on the top heavy structure. In the past, there was talk of taking some generals from head office to cluster level to enhance the capacity also. But tell us, how far are you in that regard as well? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentations. In SLAPS, slide number 37, it says discrepancies with the THRR fixed establishment and actual human resources allocation. It says all provinces felt that the THRR model has never been fully implemented. In what year was the THRR system implemented? My second question is in slide 26. Divisional Commissioner Counterintelligence, it says 118. But on the other side, it says it's an unfunded post. Why there is an acting person in an unfunded post? Thank you, Chairperson. You said two.
I want to ask the Commissioner about the Brigadier. We'll mark it.
Thank you, Chairperson. In slide 42, presentation by the Secretariat, it is clearly said that resource allocation is complex and dependent on many variables. I think I agree with that fully. It's very complicated for me to understand. If I was to understand it, I need a full course for 6 months. In a situation like this, how are these variables weighted? Because the way they are complicated, it will be very difficult to put weight on them in order that you can allocate resources correctly. And I think I would agree with Popko. But on page 6, they are saying the focus of restructuring should be directed towards reducing provincial and national structures and completely dissolving whatever and so on. My question would be, is that debate not belonging to the debate on the necessity of provinces themselves? Because if they exist, then maybe the allocation has got to go along with the existence of provinces. Yeah, and the 10% by the civilian secretariat, that would be fully capacitated. Is 10% enough? And what would be your criteria of choosing if it's only 10%? Thank you, Chairperson.
Mark it on the board. Yes. Schlumberg?
No, Chairperson. No, thanks for the presentations that we have had. Though I am certainly not convinced that sufficient consultation with all relevant players has happened. Because if indeed it happened, we wouldn't be having these critical questions that are raised. firstly by unions, who are the immediate role players. Secondly, by civilian secretariats, who run a clear oversight role in the implementation of the transformation of South African police. Thus, then responding to what I raised earlier on, when I said, I think it was last year, we cannot expect South African Police Service, with all challenges it faces from its past, to transform itself. It will need to be transformed. Noting also the weaknesses that we have witnessed at both political and leadership level of SAPS, these things have had direct negative impacts in the entire objective that we want to achieve as a nation. Because this is an asset of the nation, Jefferson, no matter what you can say. The fact that General Scholl has just taken over the chain of command just few days or months after years and years of acting. That on its own tells the story that I don't want to waste time of this committee on. Now, you see, Jefferson, I don't want, because here, particularly what SAPU raises and what POPCU raises, it, to me, it raises exactly the question that I once said. Are we witnessing, how long are we going to allow the wars of generals? Each one who takes the role of command must create his or her own empire and defend his territory at all material costs at the expense of service delivery to the nation. Now, if failure, if there is no political will to assert authority to say the buck stops here, and think that this organ, which is called South African Police, will actually transform itself as we have been presented with this very complex theoretical human resource allocation, which I am not even convinced on which theoretical philosophy it is drawn from in terms of metrics of this thing of human resource deployment strategy. Now, in the absence of that, this would remain to me a thumbs-up thing. Hence, inviting the barrage of questions that are raised by various role players. And I think maybe, Chairperson, as a committee, because at the end of the day, you will find that there is a conflict at a ministerial level. Minister having his or her own interests in terms of placement and all that. And also, even the commissioners themselves. Now, how do we as a committee feature in as an oversight to say we assist this organ to actually remain transformed and also, correctly so, deploying, when we visited KZN, on our oversight visit to KZN, that eloquent of commander or officer of the POP in Pietermaritzburg, you could hear that it's very clear of what needs to be done, but there is no ear listening to the needs at an operational level of these people who are faced with mammoth tasks, and they had to cry to us as a committee as if there is no management in place. Now, that is right. Jefferson, just give me a minute. You have said that a lot of presentation has been done. This presentation as a committee, even only if we can behave like first-year Lokman scholars, of just saying, we want just to say, I have spoken, let it pass. We will be passing the buck in a very irresponsible way, which is why South African Police remains as it was when we actually inherited it in 1994. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Bailey.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for all the for all the presentations. I think just by way of opening remarks, let me firstly say hallelujah to the recommendations from the Civilian Secretariat, music to my ears. And I'd very much love to actually get a copy of the full reports, if that can be given to the members to fully unpack that. I think we're starting to hear insights that are going to point us in the right direction. And then secondly, just very briefly, is to say that I am less convinced about what we heard from the SAF's management about the reasons and background to the resource limitation situation we find ourselves in, because it really comes down to being a matter of having the right priorities as opposed to the skewed priorities that have tended to characterize SAP's budgeting and spending over the past couple of years. If you look at the information that's coming out in the Scopo inquiry into the FDA contracts, if you consider the dozens, if not hundreds of millions that have been spent on the IJS, CJS revamp projects with minimal impacts or value add, that's the kind of issue we're looking at, because the situation of SAP spending 99.97% of their budget every year, but we have chronically and seemingly increasingly under-resourced stations on the ground, it just doesn't fly. It means something is fundamentally, structurally, systemically wrong in how we are spending and using the budgets. If we use it better within the constraints, we'll see much more beneficial impacts, and that's the key issue at hand. And so, in fact, within that vein, I just want to ask my two simple questions centered on slide 18 in the SAP's presentation. The first is if I could ask for just an explanation and elaboration on the figure of 3981 given as the post-establishment for human resource development for the 2016 to 2019 MTEF. Just what functions does that encompass? I do see that it says it includes provincial capacity, but if I'm thinking maybe we're talking the SAPS academies, we're talking about administrators to assist with the human resource development planning and those kind of functions, I'm struggling to understand how we arrive at a figure of 4,000 when you consider that the other HR functions, personnel management is at 647 for the same period, and human resource utilization, which we've heard there's a recommendation for that to be amalgamated with one of the others, is at 141. So if the management of personnel and running those HR systems can seemingly be done at around just under 650 personnel, I'm struggling to understand why the development thereof is at more than fivefold, unless that can be just properly unpacked and clarified for me, please. And then my second question is, the figure jumped out that is said to be in Division Detective Service of 462. Now, obviously, that's not the number of detectives in the SAPS. So can I just get an explanation of what that 462 refers to? And then linked to that is, in terms of the station-level post allocations, what number and percentage of that is allocated to the detective service in terms of our investigators at stations who are driving investigations? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Could you tell me what population census you base your resource guide on? Is it still the census before the last census, which to my mind has always set you up for failure? Now, the reality is that the stations are not keeping pace with the growth of our population. Stations are understaffed, too few vehicles, they can't do the patrols expected of them, and the plan was damned in the Khayelitsha Commission as irrational and flawed, and perhaps the new plan will go some way towards dealing with the shortages in terms of the deficient spatial planning pre-democracy, including the massive backlogs in cases. Now, basically, we need far more operational members for the stations to operate optimally. This THRR system is based on international best practice. I really think it must be given a fully resourced trial. I'm getting indications it's a half a trial. That we can't damn it because it doesn't work if you don't give it fully resourced trial. And all of these generals have done overseas tours. They know what international best practice we're looking to achieve. And really, I think it's time that perhaps you had a conversation with the Treasury and said we don't have sufficient members. And they have to look very carefully because we can't have stations that just don't work because they don't have the members. Like so many of the entities, I was pleased to note the decreases in distribution at the national head office, etc., because so many of the entities like the SABC, the SAPS earned and still has a reputation for being top-heavy, an inordinate number of generals, and an increasingly distrusting pool of operational members on the streets. So be careful of promoting like your predecessors have. You know, suddenly they want another 30 people around them and another 30 around them. Really, you have all the brains you need right here in the room, okay? This, I think, also speaks to the rural safety plan. Fine on paper, but the stations don't have the manpower. I go to station after station. Oh, they've filled out all the forms. They've got everybody allocated. They don't have the members. They don't have the vehicles. But you were speaking to that, and I'm hoping that you will be looking at other forms of support, everything from horses to quad bikes to helicopters to fixed wings around our borders, around the rural areas. We cannot go on having pictures of slaughtered farm workers, farmers, visitors to farms all over the world. It cannot go on because we're getting a reputation of being ungovernable, frankly. On to the chair referred to it, the reservist system. Of course, it was destroyed, even though many stations were more or less manned by the reservists at the time of the FIFA World Cup. What is the current situation? Because I go from station to station and I never find a reservist anymore. Your most dedicated reservists who performed free, going on patrols day and night, doing bookkeeping, answering the phones, they were all kicked out by the new policy. And there seems to be very little in terms of community interaction and usage in the stations now. So how did this move, driven as it was back in the day when the current minister was the National Police Commissioner, how has it benefited the SAPS? Because I don't think it has. And finally, a compliment. I really was greatly heartened by the input by the Secretariat saying that bringing down crime at a station should not be rewarded. I've covered too many cases where station commanders have taken files out the back, burned them, and said, we fixed the crime situation. It is a ridiculous thing to compliment police on arresting fewer people. And it has created a rod for your own backs. So please look again. Thank you.
Thank you. If we also can just get input from the two unions. We previously, I think the last 2 years, are posing the question to the police management, why are they not finalizing the structure of the DPCI? Because DPCI is a critical institution. There's been certain appointments over the years, people left and so on. And we need to ensure that DPCI is on track. But they say they can't finalize it because they're waiting for the unions, they're waiting for the chamber. So can we today get the answer from the unions, who's apparently delaying this process? So we'll appreciate their response on that issue. Right, let's go to SAPS first, and then we'll go to the Hopkin Sabu. General, over to you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We first like to extend our appreciation for the questions as well as the comments. I will take the strategic questions, and the colleagues will then add. The first one, I just want to talk to all the concerns surrounding the top-heavy structure. in the turnaround under the review of the resource management strategy and the migration of resources, I have commissioned a scientific work study. And I've also asked DPSA to assist us through the previous minister, because we want the outcome of the work study to be an independent work study, so that it can tell us exactly what size should we look at, and it will also enhance the migration of resources. So our work study team has already started doing that, is the groundwork. But all I wanted to say is that this process is going to be done through a scientific, that is, work study, which I've already instructed that should take place. The second part, maybe I need to be honest and say the organization did not necessarily have a resource management strategy, a full-blown. And I have instructed that process in February, and that resource management strategy, it's going to be presented by the end of this month. And we are then going to work exactly and strictly according to the resource management strategy. We'll be guided also by the resource metrics and the various criteria which should inform the strategic deployment, that is, of resources. So as a team, we're working on that. The question by the chair, I think, Chair, firstly, the question of reservists is actually a priority, even a priority of our new minister. In our first meeting yesterday, it was on the agenda. But from the side of the organization, there's work that which has already done. We've already recruited 2,600 reservists who are being prepared for deployment. So we have prioritized the review of the reservists. And in our discussion with the minister, we've also touched on the question of the policy so that we get it executed. But the chair was also referring to force multipliers because we're using reservists as such. We, within the community policing practice, we have also prioritized the neighborhood watches so that we train them as also part and parcel of the force multiplier, because we also want to look at the question of street crime forums. So we're also going to make use of the community. But then we're also prioritizing partnerships, as I've also stated. The more and part and parcel of our partnership, it also includes partnership with traditional leaders under the traditional policing concept. I think we've already also mobilized them. They are already working with us. Then on the question of technology, I've indicated previously that at the present moment we're working on the total review of the SAP's technology user requirement. Because we want to update it. But at the same time, I have also instructed the optimal utilization of current, that is, technology, which we have linked to the performance management system. The little bit of a gap has been that it was not very clear in the performance management system how do we hold people accountable for the use of technology. But we've cleared that. But the bottom line is that our technology is a bit outdated, and we want to review that. The question also by the Honorable Member, how far are we in terms of the CCTV cameras at police stations as well as the body caps? I think in the current police safety plan, we have prioritized the security installations. Amongst others, the CCTV cameras are actually top of the agenda. But for us to enhance the safety of police stations, I made a decision that we conduct physical security assessments at all police stations, and then in which then the CCTV cameras should be among the security installations that we are going to put at police stations.
There's few of our police stations presently which has got CCTV cameras, but visible policing, they are now working together with TMS on the installation of further CCTV cameras at police stations. But then we've also chose to work on a group of police stations.
Honourable Abachi, just a follow-up on the
thank
response.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we get an indication of when can we see these things happening?
General?
The installation.
By the end of the first quarter, the first group of police stations, which we have identified as hotspots, there's a project we can report on that particular project plan, the progress. Then we will be taking others that is forward. Thank you. And then taking the generals down to cluster or even stations, we have introduced the regionalization process, which is also still under discussion. It will follow the processes. A work study has been completed for the first four provinces, which I think is Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape. We've completed the work study, and we are now moving the work study to the labor platforms. We've also engaged the provinces at another level of the top management. Then the top managements within the provinces, they've also consulted with the provincial, that is, government. So our intention is to start with the implementation the latest by the second quarter of the new financial year. So that's when we intend to move on with this. The Divisional Commissioner Counterintelligence, what I wanted to correct is that immediately when I took over, the whole of crime intelligence report under a divisional, under a DNC, there's no section of crime intelligence that reports to my office. So counterintelligence reports to the Divisional Commissioner Crime Intelligence. And the post of counterintelligence is not a divisional commissioner level. That is, I don't know. It's at major general level. And no one is acting at the moment.
We want to follow up on the response. Thank you.
On that, I'm wondering, are you aware, I know I made a big thing of it at the time, that Ria Piecha, having removed all the crime intelligence heads, downgraded the post. You used to have to have a degree and 7 years experience and all the rest to just a matric to get certain people in those positions. I see by your eyebrows perhaps you didn't know, but you might want to look into that.
Thank you. Mr. General, you can continue. Thank you.
The Honourable Member has answered the question. Thank you very much, Chair. All I can say, the post is at Major General level for now. Then, Chair, the weighting of the variables, I'll give it to the OD, Chair, and maybe Strategic Management.
General? General Mahathir?
I think maybe to start with, we acknowledge even from the beginning that the THRR, it is a very complicated system that we are utilizing. And we are taking note in terms of those inputs that are coming for review, amend, adjust. We do take those very serious. We also have acknowledged that it is not even complicated to us who have developed it. Those that must benefit from them, particularly the station management, becomes very much complicated in terms of that. So those are the things that we have, and we have agreed this year that there's going to be a lot of element that we're going to take off and see how far it is going to go. It may just reverse the phases, because we have to amend the system and test it and then implement and then monitor thereafter. But those are some of the things that we are doing, going as part of the system development process that we go through. The other issue that I just wanted just to emphasize on that one of the THRR is one message. The THR, it is a demand. The FE, the fixed established, is what you would assess at the police station. And in most cases where we go, the THRR is relatively acceptable in terms of the number that is required. The people are challenging that this FE does not give us the THRR. I think that is the message that we are trying to say. The demand is very high, but what we can afford is very low. Currently, if we have to indicate just simple things, the total demand for police stations, if we use in the very current system, whether flawed or not, but it gives us a reasonable demand, it's 190,000 that we required at police stations only. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. He will proceed to respond to the question on the necessity for provinces, the 10%, whether it is enough, and the figures 3981 and 462. There's a question by the Honorable Member on whether the 10% is it enough and on the necessity of provinces.
I thought that one the Secretariat would respond to, because it is what the Secretariat are proposing. But I think they can go up, yeah.
Okay. We'll leave that, Honorable Chair, to the Secretariat. We will proceed to respond on the figures 3981 and 462.
The 3981 figure 74 HRD, it's correct. It is what the HRD is having at or should have at head office now. Head office HRD comprises of the officials who are doing policy standards for head office, comprises of the academy, the basic police colleges, academies, and those that other academies which also provide in-service training, in-support, and specialized operational support training. So that is the figure that we are having for them.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The question on the population census, which one did we use? General Rabi will answer.
Chair, thank you. What we used, the question was asked, which census do we use and which figures do we include? We updated on an annual basis based on the mid-year estimates that are issued by Stats South Africa. And that is, the mid-year estimates is basically then based on the last census that was done, and then year on year they issue a mid-year estimate that we then incorporate in the review of the resource requirements.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The last two questions, not necessarily a question or the suggestion that we have a conversation with Treasury. What we wanted to indicate to the committee is that we have already worked on a business case that we want to take to Treasury, but we're going to present it to the Minister first, because I indicated in yesterday's discussion, and it's actually ready. It's above 99%, so we'll just take it through. And it talks to the deficit out of the whole distribution and redistribution. And on the side of also rural safety plan, I think it's part and parcel of the calculations and the revival of policing at the local level. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Sithole. SAPS management, thank you. Let's go to Pop Crew, Mr. Teledi. Any response from your side?
Well, Chair, thanks. Thanks, Chair. Well, I'm surprised if we have
there's an indication that they're waiting for us for anything. But maybe in general approach, that we are not co-managing the subs. We are just a stakeholder in the South African police, who must make sure that things are done well. When they are done correctly. There are processes, obviously, that must be followed in terms of doing things. And if there's a structure that is pending, it should be put in the forum where it should be engaged. And we are always ready to engage. We are well aware that there are some which have been done and done not in the right way. They ended up in litigation, which obviously tend to some or part of the structure not being implemented. So, our interaction with the commissioner, we did indicate that we are readily available to engage on any part of the structure. Thank you.
Mike, there's venue available after the meeting. You're welcome. Shafu, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lady.
Okay. Honorable Chair, the issue of DPCI is also a new story to us. We don't know anything about what is it that management are expecting from us. I don't think we have to fly from Johannesburg to Cape Town to come and start pointing fingers at each other, whereas we've got, you know, offices very close to each other. We know nothing about DPCI. But you see, this is the problem with management of staffs. There are certain things which they want to do without consulting. But there are certain things which, when they were unable to deal with, they will simply point the finger at someone else. As we speak here today, they have presented an organizational development which is not legally, it's not an existing structure. The existing structure is the one that has been approved in 2015, 31st of May. That is an existing structure. What they were saying or talking to today is not approved. It's not a structure that we are in agreement of. If you look, I don't know if General Rabi will be able to quickly go to slide number in my presentation, please. So just to show the members in this house, that is it slide 6. You will see that what we raised here, we did not thumbsuck. It's a structure that is not signed, but it is the official one. It's the one that is in operation now. That one. I don't know if they will be able to see it very closely, but if you look at the legend, you will see that number 1, 2, 3, 4 on legend, it says DIFCOM Commissioner Lieutenant General 15. If you go and look at this structure which is on the left, right on top of, in the office of the National Commissioner, you will see it on the left there. That structure is called Divisional Commissioner Counterintelligence. So that structure, in terms of the approved structure, that is a structure that exists today, and that counterintelligence office is in the National Commissioner's office. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Secretariat, Ms. Umar, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question on when was the THRR established or implemented. General Makha, 2011-2012, right? It was introduced then, so that's the year. In terms of the 10%, you asked if this is enough, Honourable Member. We just took a number of 10% is 114 police stations. So it's quite a large number if you want to pilot or benchmark. So that's where we got the 10% from. And then in terms of the criteria, we haven't really delved into it, but on the face of it, I can say we look at an equal amount of urban and rural areas, but then look at high priority stations as well. So, sorry, stations, urban and rural stations, and then the high priority station, for example, where murder is quite rampant, but also contact crimes. So, but it needs more thinking and exploration before I can say it has to be this. So just on the face of it, I could say that's what it is. And then we will send a copy of the report, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. We really are over our time, so I just want to thank the honourable members for the contribution and also
the National Commissioner's team and also Mr. Bayers and the two representatives from the unions. Maybe just 8 takeaways from today's meeting, and we will need to follow this up in the coming months, and we must also utilize, of course, the budget hearing process in April and May for that. I think the one issue also raised by the unions is the clarity on the staff establishment. What establishment is currently the status quo, and is what would be the way forward? So we'll need clarity from SAPS with regard to that in terms of the presentation that we received today. Then, very importantly, I think there's consensus that frontline policing should get the necessary priority. Resources should be directed at stations and also those areas that are traditionally under-resourced. Then, fourthly, the top-heavy structure need to be reviewed. So we welcome the input from the unions, but also the commitment by the National Commissioner that the Public Service Administration will assist in that process. Then, point five, and I think that is an issue that we must still have a conversation with the National Police Management, is the issue of the regional commissioners and the clusters. Are we making headway? Is that the right process? In some instances it's working very well, but in other instances it's really not a success. So I think we must really analyze that two structures critically. Whether it's adding value, is it just the additional management level that's costing money, but what is the impact on the community? So we'll have to look at that. Then service delivery at the station level, of course, priority. Special units, we agree with that. That should be also getting necessary attention. And then provincial commissioners should have the latitude to redirect resources. We don't have to wait for a crisis in a certain area or a certain metro or in the rural areas. And national must come in. A provincial commissioner must have the ability to redirect resources, reprioritize and ensure that stations are given the message. So thank you very much, members. This meeting is closed. Thank you. Yeah.